This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. Welcome to the Monday morning National Agra DePirka Shir. We have a very important topic today. First, for some good news. You see this? This is the dust cover. Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes and the Eternal Children of Hashem. Look how beautiful it is. You see the kever, Rabbi Meir. You see the waters of Tveria. And the reason why it looks so beautiful to you is because your neshama knows that Mashiach is going to reveal itself first in Tveria. So your soul is longing for that great revelation. This is being printed tomorrow, bound Wednesday, and it will then be available. So that's wonderful news. And b'shat tov u'matzlachas. Let us continue on in the shiurim on Sefer Bereishis. And today we're going to speak about a topic not only relevant to the parsha, but really very basic to the times that we're living in. There's no question that we ace Sarah Hili Yaakov. It is a time of great distress for the Jewish people. Jews were murdered on October 7th, and it threw the state of Israel into war, and Jews all over the world are now in a very precarious situation, and wherever we are, we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect Achenu B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, uv'chol makom shehem. And really, it's stirring us to ask Hashem, it's time for the Geula Shalema. But that's what I would like to speak about today, the nature and the power of what is called Tefillah Be'es Tzara, prayer at a time of distress, davening at a time of distress. We're all familiar that davening at a time of distress takes on a heightened form, and not only a heightened form, but also besides added intensity, but it takes on a new halachic form. Okay. Let's see Tehillim Perek Chaf. Tehillim Perek Chaf, we say, Lam Natseach Mizmar LeDavid. Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara yisagev Hashem elakei Yaakov. Hashem will answer you on the day of distress. He will, the name of the God of Yaakov will make you impregnable, will make you protected. So it's very interesting. In the 20th parak of Tehillim, bear in mind, this is the 20th parak of Tehillim. We said that Hashem will answer you on a day of distress, and the name of the God of Yaakov will answer you. Why the God of Yaakov? Why specifically the God of Yaakov? Hashem is also like Avram, like Yitzchak. Why, when we talk about Eis Tzara, do we say that specifically the God of Yaakov will answer you? After all, Yaakov Avinu was Masakein Mariv. And he was Masakein Mariv when he was lying on the Har Habayis, Vayifka Bamakayim. And the Pasuk says, Yishlach Ezrucha Mikoydash. He will send your help from the sanctuary. Umitzion Yisadeka. He will support you from Tzion. Yizkar Kamen Chaysecha. He will remember all your offerings. Va'ilascha. And your burnt offerings. Yidashine Sela. Yitain Lecha Chavavecha. He will give you what's in your heart. V'chal Atzascha Yimalei. And all your counsel he will fill. Neranina Bishuasech. We will sing in your salvation. V'shem Eloikeinu Nidgoyel. Yemalei Hashem kol mashalei secha. This parak of Tehillim is a reference to a type of tefillah called tefillah be'es tzara. And the mizmar ends, Hashem hoishia, hamelech yaninu v'yam karein, Hashem saves. The king, he will answer you on the day that we call out. So the question is, why do we reference Hashem as answering us at a time of distress? Why do we refer to him as the God of Yaakov? The Ramban, in the Hakdama to Parshas Vayishlach, tells us that this Parsha, Parshas Vayishlach, was written to make it known that Hashem saved his servant and redeemed him from someone stronger than him. It means like this. The Ramban tells us that from the parsha of Vayishlach, we learn out that Hashem redeems the tzaddikim because Yaakov Avinu was in distress and Hashem saved him from Esav. And Vayishlach Malach Vayatzileo, God sent an angel and he saved Yaakov Avinu. As we know, Yaakov sent Malachim before him. And we also learn something else from here. You know, especially at a time like this, there's this notion, well, you know, maybe we should just daven and learn. And maybe hishtadlus is a violation of bitachain. You know, one thing we can never forget is we can't be more religious than Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu didn't say, well, I'm just going to daven and I'm just going to learn. Yaakov Avinu did hishtadlus. He used diplomacy. He sent gifts to Esav. And that's something we can never forget. You can't be more firm than Yaakov Avinu. It teaches us Yaakov did not have bitachon in his righteousness, and he tried the Hatzalah with all of his ability. So that's another thing we learn from this parsha. So again, at a time like this, we always have to ask ourselves and not fall into the trap and thinking, well, you know, we're davening, we're learning, and that will save us. You can't be more firm than Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu did hishtadlus. He utilized diplomacy. Don't say, well, you know, I don't have to utilize diplomacy. We're just going to have an atzeres tefillah. No, Yaakov Avinu didn't rely on that only. In any event, v'yesh ba'oid remezadars. We further learn from here. Ki kol asher ira la'avinu. In Esav, whatever happened to our father with Esav, yera lanu tamid and b'nei Esav will consistently occur to us with the B'nai Esav. V'roi lanu lechaz v'dakir shatag. We need to follow in the ways of the tzaddik. She'nazmin atzmeinu l'shosh advarim. We always have to be prepared with three things. She'hizmin hu es atzmai l'tfila. He prepared himself for prayer. U'ledoirayin. And for gifts, diplomacy. U'lehatzala. And for an escape route. You hear this? When the Jewish people are in danger, you need to have three things. You need to pray, you need to intervene with the government, and you need to have an apartment in another country. You need to have hatsala. You need to have a way out. Kederach milchama levrayach linatza, like when you're at war. And these are all things that Jews need to think about. You know, without being an alarmist. But you gotta see the handwriting on the wall sometimes. And you gotta be prepared in three ways. You need to pray, you need to use diplomacy, and you need an escape route. And by the way, it's probably in this order. You know, many people invest a lot of effort in diplomacy. It's important, but maybe it's not number one. Number one is prayer. Many people only pray and they ignore diplomacy. That's wrong. You need diplomacy also. And many people think, okay, we're fine here. We're going to pray, we're going to use diplomacy, and we're going to invest all of our money here because we have nothing to worry about. That's also not wise. You need to make sure there's a way, levrayach. That's the Ramban. That's what we learned from Yaakov Avinu. Vehamevin yavin, nothing more needs to be said. But let's study this further. Rashi tells us, what does it mean, and the camp that remains will flee? Against their will. Says Yaakov, I will fight them off. He prepared himself for gifts, prayer, and war. Gifts, vatavar. Now interesting, the Rashi has a different order. Rashi said, first gifts, first diplomacy, then prayer, and then milchama. Okay. So it's a little bit interesting. You know, the Ramban has a different definition of milchama than Rashi. The Ramban's definition of milchama is to run. Rashi's definition of milchama is to fight so that somebody could run. Okay. Let's see the Marsha. The Marsha tells us that in Perek Kufchaf, Dalet of Tehillim, Lulei Hashem Shehayu Alanu Bekom Aleinu Adam, Lulei Hashem Shehayu Alanu Bekom Aleinu Adam is V'loi Melech. Now, in a past year, we quoted from Reb Chaim Vital that this parak in Tehillim is a reference to Golos, Yishmael. But interestingly, the Marsha learns it's a remez to Golas Esav. The Marsha says, Zeh HaMizmar, we find in the Midrashim, is a reference to Esav and his descendants. The Marsha says, Shehershiu veheiriu aleinu b'chol hadoirois yoyser mikol shar ha'umais. Esav harmed us more than any other nation. By the way, so you'll ask, does that argue on the opinion that we learned that Yishmael is the worst of all the Golosim? I would say there are two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is it depends where you live. When you live together with Esav, then you experience firsthand that there's no one as barbaric as Edom. And if you live with Yishmael, you have a different view of it. It also may be that there is an opinion that Yishmael Bizman Hazeh is Esav. Because since Yishmael married, since Esav married the daughter of Yishmael, really, the Yishmaelim today are also descendants of Esav. Okay, be it as it may, what do we do? It says, Yoimar no Yisrael, Yisrael refers to Yisrael Saba, to Yaakov Avinu. He lay down on that place. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Here he lay. But the 20 years he was in the house of Laban, he did not lie down at night. And what did he say? He said all of Sefer Tehillim. Namely, that he davened that he should be saved from Esav. What did Yaakov Avinu do for 20 years? It's amazing. You know, we usually learn that Yaakov lay in that place, but for the 14 years in Shem Ve'Ever, he didn't sleep. So we say, what was he doing? He was learning. But the Marsha says we can make another diak. He lay in this place, but he didn't lay for 20 years in the house of Laban. What was he doing for 20 years in the house of Laban? He was saying Sefer Tehillim. What was he davening? That he should be saved from Esav. That's why he ran to Laban's house. And it's a simon to his descendants in Golos Edom that they should grab a hold of the umnus of their forefathers. So, Lulei Hashem Shehayo Lanu Bekom Aleinu Adam Al Tikri Adam Ela Edom. So this is a paradigm. How do we preserve ourselves? How do we save ourselves from the Golos of Edom? We pray. And amazingly, what was Yaakov Avinu praying for 20 years? He was praying, he was saying, Sefer Tehillim. And now we come to a new category of tefillah. We are all familiar that there are three standardized tefillahs a day. Shachris, Mincha, and Marav. And whether they're good times, whether they're bad times, whether they're ups or downs, vicissitudes, epics of vicissitudes, whatever it may be, we daven regularly. Keseder, Shachris, Mincha, Marav. But there are times in life that call for unusual measures. Sometimes in life we're in distress. Sometimes in life we're extra vulnerable. Sometimes in life there's tragedy, Chas v'Shalom. And at a time of tragedy, tefillah takes on a much heightened form. The Rambam tells us, very interestingly, that there's a mitzvah in the Torah, Va'avadetem es Hashem lekechem, you should serve Hashem your God. What does it mean you serve Him? What does it mean, Ula avdoi b'chol avavchem? You should serve God with all your heart. The Chachamim say, Ezohi avoida shebelev zu tefillah. What is the service of the heart? This is prayer. And the Rambam learns, therefore, mid'oiraisa, one is obligated to pray once a day. Mitzvah saseh lehispalel b'choyam. There's a mitzvah, de'oiraisa, to pray every day. And that's learned from the pasuk of avadatem es Hashem alekechem. And the Rambam holds, ve'ein minyan ha'tfilos v'na toira. Davening three times a day is not biblical, it's rabbinic. Ve'ein mishnah ha'tfilah ha'zois v'na toira. And the format of tefillah is not biblical. Ve'ein le'tfilah zman kavua v'na toira. And tefillah does not have a set time mid-dairaisa. Mid-dairaisa, you could wake up in the morning at 2 p.m., offer a prayer, God, I thank you for creating me. Please help me out today. I would like to eat more donuts than usual. And then you're yotze your tefillah. That is the tefillah of Midaraisa according to the Rambam. Now you could pray for something more significant than that, and hopefully you do. But according to the Rambam, biblically, you only have to daven once a day. You don't have to daven three times a day biblically. There's no zmane tefillah. There's no liturgy of the tefillah. This is the opinion of the Rambam. By the way, we learn from here a very interesting principle that, you know, when the Torah says to do something, how do you know how often you're supposed to do it? You know, let's say the Torah says wear tefillin. So, how often should I wear tefillin? Should I do it once a month, once a year, once a week, once a yovel? From here we see that if the Torah says to do something without further detail, presumably it means once a day. And that's a very important piece of information. And this is something the Kesef Mishnah derives. So for example, the Torah says, love Hashem. So, okay, how often am I supposed to make sure I fulfill that? At least once a day. The Torah says, fear Hashem. Okay, how often am I supposed to actively fulfill that? At least once a day. Therefore, the Torah says, pray, according to the Rambam, you should pray at least once a day. And you'll say, of course, but I daven three times a day, and I go to a minyan. That's beautiful. That's Midrabanan. And let me tell you where this makes a nafgamina. This makes a very big nafgamina for women. Because, according to Ramban, we're about to see, tefillah is only Drabanan. Let's see it right now. V'dasha Ramban zal hisaga rabbeinu. The Ramban challenges the Rambam. B'ma shekasav sha tefillah mitzvah min ha-Torah. Shekvar biyaru chacham migamara tefillah midrabanan. K'ma sham per gimel debrachas. The Ramban's opinion is, tefillah is rabbinic. But by the way, it being rabbinic makes it more chamor. Because the rabbis required that a person daven at least twice a day, shachris and mincha. And therefore, according to Ramban, a woman is obligated to daven shachris and mincha. We're talking about Shemana Esrei. According to the Rambam, no. There's only a biblical obligation to daven once a day. A woman could get up in the morning. She could say, Hashem, thank you for returning my soul. Please give me a good day. And she's fulfilled her mitzvah. And this is very important for women to know. Because the halacha is that one may not eat before davening. Okay, this is another important halacha. Despite the fact that you go to a kosher program and you'll come down for breakfast and they'll have 10 types of cheesecake and omelet stations, you may not eat before you daven. Men and women. Really? Nobody? No. Gentiles are allowed to. Only Jews are not allowed to. Only if your mother is Jewish are you not allowed to. So you say, well, what about a young child? Young child can. Well, what if I'm older and I don't have strength in the morning unless I eat? Then it would be permitted to eat. However, you want to at least fulfill the opinion of the Rambam to fulfill your biblical obligation of davening. So you're going to say, like, Hai Neshama or Berchas HaTorah. And then if a person must eat, then at least they fulfilled their biblical obligation. Therefore, women, if they're not going to be davening the full shachris and mincha, at the very least, they should be mekayim tefillah d'oraisa before they eat in the morning. Okay. Now, these are the tefillos that we're familiar with. However, we are now going to be introduced to an idea that I'm sure you're familiar with as well, and that is there's a new category of tefillah. And it's called tefillah be'is tzara. Tefillah at a time of distress. And the Ramban holds that even though davening in general is rabbinic, the Ramban Shita is davening is rabbinic, but davening at a time of tzara, at a time when the Jewish people are in distress, at a time that a person has a tzara, he has a health situation, he has a situation with parnasa, he has an issue with his children, at a time of difficulty, tefillah becomes da'iraisa. The Ramban writes, v'im ula yiya midrasham b'tefillah ikar min ha-tayra. Even if you're going to concede that tefillah has a basis midairaisa, nimna oisai b'minyanoi, then you'll be able to count it as one of the 630 mitzvahs shelaharav, that according to the Rambam, v'nemar, she mitzvah le'eis hatzarois, that tefillah would be biblical at a time of distress, shenamin, that we will believe, shehu yisbarach v'yisala shoymea tefillah, part of emunah, is to believe that God hears our prayer. And that He saves from distress, of Zaaka, in prayer and outcry. But be it as it may, the Ramban Shita is that even though in general tefillah is Dirabanan, at a time of distress, tefillah is Dairaisa. And I would think then, at a time like this, when the Jewish people are in a very precarious situation, our tefillahs to Hashem, according to Ramban, are upgraded to a biblical level. Which means that our tefillahs are really elevated to a completely different stratosphere at a time like this. And it's important to be aware that the obligation of davening, as important as it is on a different level at a time like this. And the reason why it's Dairaisa is part of Emunah b'Hashem, is the belief that Hashem listens to our tefillah. By the way, there's an amazing tshuva in Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe Archaim Chelek Beis that he was asked, are Gentiles obligated to daven? So Rav Moshe says it's pashut that Gentiles are not obligated to daven. It's not one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Vav. It's not mentioned in the Rambam. However, says Rav Moshe, in his opinion, Gentiles are not obligated in standardized prayer. However, if they have a particular need, for example, they have a relative who's ill, or they don't have livelihood, it's mamish achiyov even for goyim to daven. It's not mentioned as one of the shemeses v'nei noyach. Says Rav Moshe, the very definition of belief in Hashem is that, what does it mean to believe in God? That there's a creator? Belief in God is He's the only one who could give parnasa. He's the only one who could heal the ill. And when one doesn't trust in Hashem, and one doesn't daven to Him, it's like he doesn't have emunah in Him. And belief in Hashem, even though, by the way, emunah is also not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs, but it's the very basis of the Sheva Mitzvahs. Because if a guy is mekayim the Sheva Mitzvahs, and he doesn't do it because Hashem commanded him, the Rambam says he's not considered mechasidei umos ha'olam. So the very foundation of the Sheva Mitzvahs is emunah b'Hashem. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, that even Gentiles, although they are not obligated to daven, even Gentiles are obligated to daven at a time of tzara. It's the very definition of emunah. And therefore, at a time like this, the most basic fulfillment of emunah b'Hashem is tefillah, prayer. Prayer, according to the Rambam, even though ordinarily it's drabanan be'ez tzara, it becomes a dairaisa. And I heard many years ago, this is going back maybe 15 years ago, from Rav Noach Isaac Obam, how actually if you study the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu in this parsha, we see that Yaakov basically formulates a formula for a tefillah be'ez tzara. For example, like this. You know, we learned that Yaakov Avinu was Masakein Marev in Vayetze, Vayivka Bamakoyim. But actually, if we study Yaakov Avinu's tefillah in this week's parsha, we'll see it's a tefillah like Shachris Mincha Marev. Says the Torah, Vayoymer Yaakov, Elokei Avi Avraham, Velokei Avi Yitzchak. Yaakov said, the God of my father Avraham and the God of my father Yitzchak. So that almost sounds like he's utilizing the procedure of Avos in the beginning of his tefillah. Then he says, Hashem ha'omer Elai shuv la'aretz u'chol matom et tivi imach. Then that's like saying, Elokei Yaakov. Katonti mikol hachasodim. He's being mishabeach Hashem, that he's small from all the kindnesses that Hashem did to him. And then he's mevakesh. Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Amazingly, Rabbi Yisai, comes the Sefarno, and the Sefarno says, Elokei Avi Avraham, Hiktim b'seder, Shivchai shamakim, v'chasadav. He first mentions the praise of God and His kindness. Uv'hazker z'chus avais, by mentioning the merit of the forefathers, Kaseder Anshe Knesset Hagdolah, like the arrangement of the Anshe Knesset Hagdolah, Betchila Shmoine Esrei Brachos, in the beginning of the 18 Brachos. So the expression Aleikei Avi Avraham Aleikei Yitzchak is a tefillah for Avais. And the Sfasemes points out that we know there's a principle, that's how Yaakov formulated this tefillah. He said the praise of Hashem, that's Shevach, Hatzileni is tefillah, and then he ended off, Yata Amarta Heitev Eitev, that's Keneged, the last three brachos of Shemana Esrei, of Shevach, of Hoidah. So we see that Yaakov Avinu, so to speak, is the one who is the first to daven be'is tzara. And therefore it's no wonder, as we're going to see, when we refer to tefillah be'is tzara, we always invoke Yaakov Avinu, because that he was the first one to activate. We're tapping into the kayach created by Yaakov Avinu of tefillah be'is tzara. In fact, at the end of Vayechi, and to me this is a very important insight, Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, and I hereby, I have given you an additional portion on your brothers. Asher lakachti miyad ha'amori, that I took from the hands of the Amori, b'charbi uvekashti, with my sword and with my bow. With my sword and with my bow. The Gemara in Bava Basra says Yaakov Avinu didn't acquire anything with a sword and with a bow. Says the Gemara in Bava Basra, my sword refers to tefillah, my bow refers to bakasha. And to me, this is an eye-opening insight, because we always want to know, you know, how do we overcome Yishmael and the end of days? The Marsha says we know the weapon of Esav is the cherev. The cherev is the weapon of Esav. Like we know, al charbecha sichya. Our sword is the koil kol Yaakov. What's the koil Yaakov, says Marsha? Tefillah. The standardized tefillah. But the bow is bakasha. Bakasha was given to Yishmael. In other words, the bow was given to Yishmael. The antidote, the way we overcome Yishmael, is bakasha. By the way, this is I never realized this before. The sword is the power of Esav, the bow is the power of Yishmael. The sword of Klal Yisrael is our standardized prayer. The bow of Klal Yisrael is our personal prayer. So that means it comes out that specifically against Yishmael, the way we overcome Yishmael is through our personal prayer. You know, the Marsha explains, the Meshech Chachma explains, a sword is inherently powerful. If somebody stabs somebody with a paper clip, they're chayiv misa. Because metal has the capacity to injure, even if it's the smallest amount. Likewise, the standardized tefillah, whether you put in kavana or not, are so inherently powerful, because they were composed by the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, that even if they're said with the, so to speak, with very little kavana, they're extremely powerful. The mashal I like to give is somebody presses a button and unleashes an atomic bomb. It doesn't matter how hard you press the button. The bomb has been unleashed. So too in standardized prayer. The standardized prayer has been loaded with such nuclear spiritual energy that it's inherently powerful. But the way we overcome Yishmael is bakasha, it's a bow. A bow, it all depends on how far back you pull the arrow, how much intensity you put into the prayer. But we find in this week's parasha in Vayishlach, look carefully. Yaakov tells his family, V'nakuma v'nala beisel, we will get up, we will go to beisel, v'esa sham mizbeach, and I will build an altar there, lo'el ha'oina oisi, to the God that answers me, b'yom tzarasi, on the day of my distress. V'yihi imadi, and he was with me, b'aderach asher halachti. We see in this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu specifically refers to Hashem as the God that answers him at a time of distress. The Ribbono Shel Olam, even though he answers our standardized tefillah, there's a special relationship we have with him. at a Eitz Tzara. Rabbeinu Yonah beautifully writes about the importance of tears as an ingredient in tefillah. The gates of tears are never locked. What is the role of tears when it comes to the Nisach HaMayim? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, the same way karbanos, what is the role of tears when it comes to tefillah? The same way when it comes to karbanos, there was a libation of water that was poured on the Mizbeach. So too, the tears that are offered when one prays are like the Nisach HaMayim. Chazal tell us that all the years that Yaakov was in Beis El, he was constantly pouring Nisachim. What does that mean? If you want to know how many libations Yaakov poured, then you'll be able to count how many ounces are in the Yam Kinneret. Yaakov Avinu was crying bitter tears when he davened in Beis El. And who could possibly count all the tears of Yaakov Avinu? What we're learning is Yaakov Avinu, aside from the standardized tefillah of Mariv, of Ayifka Bamakoim, he was the one who innovated tefillah B'yis Sara. Even in his tefillah, he also taught us another important halacha in tefillah. He teaches us that when you daven, you need to daven precisely. He doesn't just say, Hatzileni na miyad achi. He doesn't just say, Hatzileni na miyad esav. He says, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad esav. The Chizkuni says that if he would have just said, save me from my brother, maybe you would think it means save me from my relative Lavan. So he said from Esav, and if he would say from Esav, maybe it's a different Esav. From here we learn a very important principle. When you daven for a chayla, when you daven for anything, it's important to be very precise. Precision, even in personal tefillah, is critical. The Alkut Shemoini points out, why do we invoke the God of Yaakov? Why not the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak? Says the Alkut Shemoini, it's a mashal to a woman who's pregnant and she's having difficulty in labor. She says, I don't know what to say. Who should I pray to? We say to her, the one who answered your mother when she was pregnant with you, she should answer you. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu says, to the God that answered me on my day of distress. Yaakov said, God answered me on my day of distress. So comes David HaMelech, and he says, the one that answered Yaakov at his day of on his day of distress, he should answer you on your day of distress. That's why when we're in distress, we say, Yisagevcha Shem Eloikei Yaakov. The God who protects Yaakov, he should answer you. Now, the Siddur Roikeach brings some amazing remazim of the Perek, Lamnatseach Mizmar LeDavid Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara. It's five times five in this Mizmar, Keneged, the five Chumashim. What that means is a little bit of a mystery. There's 70 words in this Mizmar. Keneged, the 70 names of Hashem. There are 9 psukim, Keneged, the 9 months of labor. The entire Aleph Beis is in this chapter of Tehillim, besides a test, but there are 9 psukim that teaches anyone who says these 9 psukim when a woman is in labor, she'll give birth in ease. And the number of letters in Lamnatzech Mizmar David are Keneged, the number of days that we say this tefillah during the year. And Keneged, the 70 words, Keneged, the 70 souls that went down to Mitzrayim. Comes Rabbi Yaakov Emdin and he says, Dvarim Noiraim. He says, you know, we say Lam Natsech Mizmar LeDavid, Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara at the end of davening. You know why? Because it's the 19th parak of Tehillim. So after the 18 brachos of Shemayna Esrei, we say, okay Hashem, now answer us B'yom Tzara. It's the 19th chapter of Tehillim to indicate after the 18 brachas of Shemana Esrei, answer us. Aye, but it's the 20th chapter of Tehillim. No, the Gemara says in brachas, Ashrei and Lama Ragshu are one parak. And in a way, you could say that since there are 19 brachas in Shemone Esrei, so it's after the 19 chapters. So, by the way, just like after Shemone Esrei we say Tiskabel Tzoloisoin, after the 19 chapters of Tehillim we also say Yancha Hashem Yom Tzara. And then Rabbi Yaakov Enden says something out of this world. Besides the fact that it's mesugal to say this chapter when a woman is in labor, so Yaakov Avinu Alav HaShalom, who said Lakel Ha'oina Oisi B'Yom Tzarasi, so we therefore say Yisagev Hashem Alekei Yaakov. There are 310 letters in Lam Natzeach, not only connected the number of days of the year that we say Lam Natzeach, but connected the 310 worlds said to the tzaddik. Marv Rabbeisa, you know, there's a Kabbalistic gematria that the two names of Hashem, Yudke Vavke and Elohim, 26 and 86, are 112. That corresponds to Yaboik. Remember Yaakov Avinu crosses Ma'avar Yaboik? Yaboik is a reference to the two names of Hashem, Yudke Vavke and Elohim. But you know what else Yaboik stands for? It's the key of Tfilah Be'ez Sara. Ya'aninu B'yoim Karenu Yaboik. Ya'aninu B'yoim Karenu. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in Lam Natzeach Mizmor LeDavid, we have a remez four times to Yaboik. How? We say, look in the beginning. We say, Yancha Hashem B'yoim Tzara. Okay? Yancha Yud Beis Tzadi. So, it equals 112, right? Because Yud Beis Kuf is 112, and Yud Yud Beis Tzadi is 112. So that's the first remez to Yaboik. Yud Yud Beis Tzadi, that's 112. Number two, says Rav Yaakov Emden. Kadshoi Begevurais Yesha. We have Kadshoi Kuf. Begvurais, Beis, Yesha, Yud. Another, that's the second Yaboik. A third Yaboik. We have Va'anachnu, Kamnu, Va'nisoidad, Vav, Kuf, Vav. Also 112, the same gematria as Yaboik. Vav, Kuf, Vav. And then, of course, we end off Ya'aninu, B'yoim, Karenu. So, this is the special innovation of Yaakov Avinu. And whenever we offer a Tefillah Be'ez Sara, we specifically try to connect back with Yaakov Avinu. Because aside from enacting Mariv, which is one of the standard Tefillahs, he also gave Klal Yisrael the great gift of Tefillah Be'ez Sara. And every time we offer a Tefillah Be'ez Sara, we connect it to Yaakov Avinu. The Ramban learns Tefillah Be'ez Sara is Da'iraisa, even though ordinarily Tefillah is not. Rav Moshe learns Tefillah Be'ez Sara is a Chiyav even on Goyim. And we see how Yaakov formulated it. Avais, Shevach, Bakasha, Haida, which means like this. That means if a person is asking a personal prayer, you know, Hashem, please send so-and-so, Parnasa, Refuah, whatever they need. So the proper way to do it is first Hashem, the God of my forefathers, praise Hashem and humble yourself, and then make the specific request to say the name correctly, and then thank Hashem. So in other words, I think usually we don't even think of doing that. We just, you know, Hashem, give so-and-so what they need. But we see from Yaakov Avinu that even Tefillah Be'ez Sara should follow a certain paradigm and a specific formula. And this was the great gift of Yaakov Avinu, which we mention every single day in the davening. And at a time like this, we should be cognizant that our tefillah takes on added intensity and even heightened halachic form. Okay, Rabbi Isai, I wish everyone a wonderful day. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Yes.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.